Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Medal of Honor is our nation's oldest and highest recognition of valor. Now, when I called Larry to let him know he finally was receiving this recognition, his response, I thought you had to do something to receive the Medal of Honor. Let me say that again. He said, I thought you had to do something to receive the Medal of Honor. Well, Larry, you sure in hell did something, man.
Yeah, you sure did something, man. This is President Biden the other day congratulating and awarding Captain Larry Taylor with the Medal of Honor. And, you know, as he does and as every president does, the beginning was just a little bit of crowd warming and, you know, getting everybody relaxed in a pretty formal event.
And finally, Tony. Larry learned many ranks and call signs throughout his military service. He earned them. Captain, Dark Horse, Mustang, and probably a few we can't say out loud. Best left out of the presidential record, I guess. But I believe that Larry is most proud of being called your husband. And it's an honor. It's an honor to have you both here as we give this heroism its full recognition that it deserves.
So he starts off to give the award. And the way this works, if you've never watched a Medal of Honor a ceremony before, the president speaks and he, you know, he will go through his version of the narrative, basically, which is meant to be a little bit more, embellished is not the right word, entertaining is not the right word, but just colorful, maybe a little bit, than the official account. Not that there's anything inaccurate in the president's account, but then afterwards you have the official citation gets read, like the one that's in the record. They're always a little bit different. It's always kind of interesting to listen to both of them. But I wanted to give the president his due here and listen to him explain exactly what happened with Captain Larry Taylor.
June 18th, 1968, it was pitch black. No moon, no stars, no light beyond the glow of Lieutenant Taylor's cockpit controls when he heard a whisper come through his radio. We're surrounded. We're surrounded. That's what he heard. The call had come from a four-man Army patrol unit just northeast of Saigon, a unit that included Sergeant David Hill. Earlier that day, the Med had set out to recon the area. But in the dark, the men found themselves in the middle of the Viet Cong stronghold. Nearly 100 enemy soldiers now encircled their unit. The men picked up the radio and made a call. It was no longer a recon mission. They needed a rescue mission. Without hesitation, Lieutenant Taylor and his co-pilot began racing toward them.
But you have to keep in mind that this is four people needing rescue from suddenly being surrounded by 100 enemy soldiers. And the platform available that then Lieutenant Taylor was flying is a Cobra. You've seen the Cobra. That's what's at the Veterans Memorial Park. How much cabin space is there in a Cobra to rescue people? Zero. It's not a Huey. It's not a transport. It's an attack helicopter. There's room for the two pilots, and that's it. So this is a temporary help us out until the actual help can arrive kind of situation.
Over the radio, he laid out the game plan. He would use his Cobra to give the unit cover until a rescue helicopter could extract them. There was just one simple problem. It was pitch black. Lieutenant Taylor couldn't determine exactly where they were. So he asked his men to launch a flare, a move that would reveal their location to him, but also to the enemy. Lieutenant Taylor knew the risk, but he was ready. Over the radio, he said, let's get to work.
1968, no GPS. You know, no, I mean, this is just come and help us, and there's no way to see anything. So can you imagine trying to tell some folks, I'm here to help, but you're going to have to reveal your position to everybody so I can help you?
The flare went up, and the fight was on. The enemy fire lit up the night. Lieutenant Taylor and his co-pilot dove down, positioning their Cobra nearly parallel with the Viet Cong fighters. They flew dangerously low levels for more than a half an hour, firing thousands of rounds of rockets to cover the ground on which the men were. Then Lieutenant Taylor heard a sound. Not only meant one thing, his helo was hit, and then was hit again and again and again. At that point, according to Army standards, he could have left the fight, but Lieutenant Taylor had his own sacred standard. Quote, "You never leave a man on the ground," end of quote.
It's the worst possible situation, right? I mean, you've tried to help. It's an almost impossible scenario, and now you're being told, get out of there.
He tried to find an escape route for the unit, his Cobra taking more rounds as he did. He kept trying to radio for rescue, knowing that he and his men below were almost out of time and ammunition. On his last try, he learned that any attempt to save the men had been called off. The rescue helicopter was not coming. Instead, Lieutenant Taylor received a direct order: return to base. His response was just as direct: I'm getting my men out. I'm getting my men out.
Now, I don't know whether that, in the circumstances, would have constituted disobeying an order, but if it is, it's the kind of order you celebrate somebody for disobeying, right? But also keep in mind, I mean, you know, I know a lot of you know this, especially at this hour, a lot of you are military. You know, your job is to obey the orders because the person who's commanding you has got a broader set of concerns than just your particular mission, those four men, your two men, your platform. If your platform gets taken out, that's reduced capacity to prosecute the war thereafter. I mean, you know, it's not... In retrospect, it seems like, well, obviously you disobey an order. There is never an obviously you disobey an order. Well, there might be, but, like, you know, it's not so clear, especially when you're in the middle of a firefight, basically, and being told, get out of there. There's nothing more you can do. Just go. And he says, no, I don't. We're not doing that.
Lieutenant Taylor would perform the extraction himself, a maneuver never before accomplished in a Cobra. Remember, the Cobra was only a gunship only. It had no cabin for passengers, but that was the least of his problems. First, Lieutenant Taylor needed to give his men a way out of the rice paddy where they'd been pinned down. He needed diversion. So despite the fact that he had no rockets or rounds left, Lieutenant Taylor drew the enemy fire himself, using his landing light to trick the enemy into thinking he still had ammo. He started making runs on the Viet Cong fighters. The ruse worked a few times, but it was enough for the men to make it to the extraction point.
I mean, he doesn't have any rounds left. He's got no rockets left. He's out. He's bingo on ammunition. He's just, you know, he's, what can we do? We can pretend. I have a big, scary machine here. We can run at him. We can make a lot of noise. We can turn the lights on. We can make him think we're about to kill him dead. And hopefully that gives these guys enough chance to just get to something other than where they're at.
There, still under heavy gunfire, Lieutenant Taylor landed. The men mounted the exterior of his helo, clinging to the skids, climbing on the rocket pods. Within seconds, Lieutenant Taylor was back in the air, but the mission wasn't over. Lieutenant Taylor saw his fuel light flickering. He had started off with 1,600 pounds of gas, and now he had about six, not enough to make it back to base. Worse, the soldiers he was carrying were covered in wet mud and clinging to the Cobra against 50-knot wind, knots of wind. Even if he could make it back to base, his men would freeze or fall first.
Just a horrible thing to imagine. How do you deal with that? I mean, you've got them. Now what?
So he once more risked his own safety for his fellow teammates. He located a friendly area to set his bird down. The four men dismounted the helo and disappeared back into the pitch-black night. No moon, no stars, no light beyond the glow of their faces when they briefly turned and saluted Lieutenant Taylor for saving all four of their lives.
So he's going to run out of fuel if he carries them home. They might die in the process anyway. So he actually takes time to set them down just so they can both have a chance at living. And they do.
He wouldn't see some of these men again until 30 years later. at Army reunions. By that time, Lieutenant Taylor had long become Captain Taylor. He'd flown more than 2,000 combat missions, and he received a Silver Star, a Bronze Star, 2 Distinguished Flying Crosses, and 43 Air Medals. Thank God he's not putting them all on his chest. He'd have trouble standing. Incredible. No, really think about it. It's incredible. But the greatest honor of all, family showed up at these reunions, too. They'd look for Larry. They'd hug him. They'd say, "You don't know me, but you saved my daddy's life." When duty called, Larry did everything to answer. And because of that, he rewrote the fate of 4 families for generations to come. That's valor. That's valor. That's our nation at its very best.
That absolutely is. Unbelievable story. And just now, finally, what, 55 years later, getting the Medal of Honor? That's amazing. And I know that this Medal of Honor ceremony has gotten news coverage and social media coverage for a different reason, because the president, at the beginning of the very ceremony, he was wearing a mask. He then took it off because his wife had COVID. And so he was even though he tested negative before and after and several times, the advice is still, if you've had a close contact, even a possible close contact, you're supposed to mask. He took the mask off. He conducted the ceremony. And then he left immediately. Like, he pins the medal on the captain, and he just, like, pins it on, stands there, photo, walks right out the front and out entire, like, no hanging around. So people have been criticizing him for the quick exit. Well, the quick exit is because he didn't want to be around the possibility of, infecting or getting, I guess, infected, but mostly, infecting other people. Corinne Jean-Pierre talked about this, and as much as I can't stand her, I thought her explanation was fair. Why did he take the mask off? Fine. I mean, whatever. Yes, it's confusing. Is he supposed to? Is he not supposed to? Just, you've got to know when somebody you dislike deserves criticism and when somebody you dislike, you're just leaning into criticism because you want to dislike them. Don't focus on that. It's sad that that's been the more dominant story about this Medal of Honor awarding ceremony than the unbelievable activities and events that Captain Taylor performed. I mean, that's kind of disgusting. If that's your first reaction, is to find a way to criticize the president in the middle of this thing that should be honoring our greatest examples of military valor and heroism, maybe check your own behavior and your thoughts just a little bit. Is there ever, is there a place where you could maybe criticize something? Sure, okay. But make the main thing the main thing. And the main thing in this case is what this man did and what he represents of the best of all the military over the history of this great country. 522 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, I think I said bingo ammunition. Bingo fuel doesn't mean out. It means, getting back to your bingo destination, your alternate or whatever. So I apologize. I used the term incorrectly, and that's my fault. So I be honest, I thought it was going to be a nice, cool way to say a thing that I thought, and then I realized it. So anyway, I apologize for using the term inaccurately. If that threw you off, if you're a military person, you're like, well, that doesn't make any sense in this context, Andrew. I'm sorry. 523 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Wake up, people. You are optimizing every waking hour of your life. From carpooling kids, to work, to friends, and everything in between. You have to get sleep. And a bed that can perform as well as you do. Meet the next generation Sleep Number Smart Bed. It effortlessly adjusts to your shape, position, and movements. Learning how you sleep, so you learn to sleep better. Night after night. Sleep next level. Only from Sleep Number. It's the biggest sale of the year. Save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed. Plus free home delivery when you add an adjustable base. Ends Monday.
Keep climbing.
Picked off! He brought it down with one hand!
Johnson
goes down! Sack!
This is your home for FSU football.
Watch it deep downfield! Punch! Touchdown! FSU!
Rolling to his left, they're going to throw. End zone! Picked off!
Game over!
Catch live coverage of the Seminoles all season long right here on your home for Florida State football.
Listen to FSU football on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Happy 62nd birthday, Granddad.
Thanks, sweetheart.
I got you this.
A mug. Oh, thank you. What does it say? Beware. If you are 60 or older, you may be at increased risk of hospitalization from RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, compared to adults younger than 60.
Not all dangers come with warning labels. Talk to your pharmacist or doctor about getting vaccinated against RSV today. Learn more at bewareofrsv.com. Brought to you by Pfizer.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk, 9 to 11, before Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm sitting there. And in walks the biggest Mexican I have ever seen.
Every once in a while, I'm at like the grocery store, and Nine Inch Nails comes on.
Isn't that so bizarre?
I know.
And
they were alternative when we were younger.
I no longer feel so cool and hip. Yeah. when Nine Inch Nails has become elevator music. It's 5:26 on News Radio 92.3. Steve Taylor's in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
Well, the Senate will start moving a package of government funding bills next week. This comes as Congress is racing to avoid a shutdown at the end of the month. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said he expects the first votes on Monday. The top Democrat urged Republicans in the House to follow the Senate's lead and work with Democrats. The U.S. is providing more than $1 billion of new assistance to Ukraine. Secretary of State Antony Blinken made the announcement during his trip to the Ukrainian capital of Kyiv on yesterday. The commitment includes more military resources for Ukraine's counteroffensive, as well as financial and humanitarian aid. A Tennessee woman is setting a new Guinness World Record with the help of a whole lot of hair. According to Guinness officials, Tammy Manis has the longest competitive mullet of any woman on earth. I didn't even know
it's super long. Yeah. Have you seen the photo?
Yes, I can.
It's like knee length, man.
Yeah, she says she began growing the mullet back in 1990 and now measures, get this, 68 inches in length, which is 4 inches taller than she is.
Yeah.
She says most of the time her hair is braided and tucked away to prevent her from stepping on it. And you know, she wants to not step on her hair, so you ought to cut off the mullet and adopt my carefree hairstyle. Which is bald.
I mean, this is...
You have a reverse mullet.
Yes.
To me, what's interesting about this is...
Yeah.
Somebody's going to invest. What was the time? When was the last cut, haircut? 86? What did you say?
1990.
Okay,
right,
so
yeah.
She's got 33 years of growing hair.
Yeah.
But only the back quadrant.
Yes.
Like,
which is what makes it a mullet.
Right, but she's growing only that part of her hair.
Yeah.
And shaving, cutting the top and the sides for 33 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you're 15 years into growing your mullet and you're like, you know, I think I look better with all hair. Too late now.
Yeah, right?
My goodness. Oh, all right, Steve. Thanks to a competitor. That's my favorite line in that story is as a competitive mullet.
Right.
You know, as opposed to longest hair in a non-competitive mullet.
Sure.
You know, so Steve, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, a couple of notes about military stuff related to the Navy. One is at Austell. Has gotten a $91 million contract. We keep an eye on Austell because, obviously, Mobile is still pretty close to us. A lot of folks here work there, and their economy affects our economy, you know, so we kind of keep track on that. They've got a $91 million contract from the Navy for 3 LCUs, those are landing craft utilities. Closest thing I can think of is if you've ever seen any video footage of World War II landing craft where they drive up onto the beach and lower the front door, basically, and everybody goes out. That, except that today they typically will carry, you know, like armored vehicles and things like that. But still, the LSUs are carried aboard amphibious assault ships to the objective area and used across a wide range of military operations, deliver vehicles, personnel, and cargo from sea to shore and shore to shore. And they are the first thing that's going to be built on the newly opened steel ship building line that Austell has got going. Also, in other sort of steel-related news, not Austell this time, but the Enterprise, USS Enterprise, Which has been decommissioned, so I guess it's technically, you know, it's, you know, like, it's not a president anymore. It's a former president. It's not the USS Enterprise. It's the ex-USS Enterprise. But anyway, the first nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, they've been trying to figure out what to do with it. And the alternative three is the one that the Navy is going to proceed with, which is dismantlement by a commercial contractor. And, I mean, that's a lot of steel, you know, to take apart. And there's, I guess there's some concerns. I don't know how seriously to take these, but some concerns about, you know, nuclear contaminated, like, where did the nuclear material go? If you're if you're taking this thing apart, what will that do in terms of, you know, polluting water? What will that do in terms of releasing other materials? Anyway, it might get taken apart in Mobile. Mobile is one of the sites where you might see the USS Enterprise getting dismantled. Hampton Roads, Virginia, where it currently is, Brownsville, Texas, or Mobile are the three possibilities. So we'll see. It's going to take $1 billion to eradicate the thing, 5 years to complete. The other option would have been 10 years, a much slower one. So we'll see. You might see the Enterprise being dismantled in Mobile.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Right now it's all systems go for President Biden and his trip to the G20 summit. He's been testing negative since the First Lady came down with COVID earlier this week. Special counsel David Weiss could indict Hunter Biden at some point this month. The filing linked to the possession of a gun while using drugs. It also refers to the misdemeanor tax case brought by prosecutors earlier this year. A push in one state to keep the GOP frontrunner Donald Trump off the ballot in 2024, Fox's Kristen Goodwin.
The suit on behalf of six Republican and unaffiliated voters claims the former president should be disqualified from another run for violating the 14th Amendment's insurrection clause on January 6th, 2021.
The nonprofit Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics suing Colorado to have Trump removed from the ballot. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31, 78 degrees, mostly clear in Pensacola. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. A soon-to-be-vacated building in downtown Pensacola is being eyed for future commercial and residential development. For the last 30 years, the property at 101 West Main Street has been occupied by Pensacola Sports. Last week, they announced that they would be moving operations to the campus of Pensacola State College.
We're looking at a lot of different options. But I think the long-term hope of what you do that parcel is to try to maximize the income that the CRA can generate off of that. And so whether that's going vertical, certainly we have housing needs, all those kinds of things. So we haven't worked out all those details yet, but I think that's what the vision would be for that property.
Mayor D.C. Reeves says the building is city-owned, and he says in order for Pensacola Sports to terminate the remaining 3 years on the lease, they'll cover moving expenses up to $25,000. An executive officer in the United States Marine Corps is facing local charges of child cruelty and domestic violence by strangulation.
According to Military.com, 40-year-old Lieutenant Colonel Michael Masters was arrested in Gulf Breeze Saturday morning. Channel 3 says that much of his arrest report is redacted, but the alleged incident occurred at the Gulf Breeze Recreation Center at around 10:30. Masters is stationed in South Carolina and was in town visiting. He was released on $20,000 bond on Tuesday, and the Marine Corps says he's been reassigned.
That's News Radio's Joe Ford reporting. There's a new leader of Ascension Sacred Heart Hospital in Pensacola. The hospital says that Will Condon will serve as their new president starting September 17th. Condon is a Pensacola native who has been at Ascension Sacred Heart for about 10 years. For the last four, he served as president for Studer Family Children's Hospital. New projections show Hurricane Lee could make it all the way to the East Coast. That hurricane formed over the Atlantic Ocean on Tuesday and is expected to strengthen to a Category 4 storm by Saturday with wind speeds up to 150 miles an hour. A European forecast model predicts the storm will stay out at sea and not make direct landfall with the U.S. However, the American model shows Lee hitting the edge of Cape Cod and heading up into Canadian waters. Hurricane Lee could strengthen into a Category 5 storm as temperatures in the Atlantic area are warmer than usual. Speaking of warm, let's check our forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. 30% chance of a stray shower today, otherwise mostly sunny skies with a high near 93. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78 degrees. For Friday, slightly warmer with a high near 94 degrees, 20% chance of a stray shower. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, 70. 78 degrees in Pensacola, 78 in Gulf Breeze, and 75 in Milton at 535. The next news is at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. At Anderson, we know Subarus are built better, and we're not the only ones who think so. Subarus earn more IIHS Top Safety Pick Plus awards than Honda, Toyota, or Hyundai brands since 2013 as of July 2023. When it comes to safety, Subarus are better. And when it comes to longevity, well, Subaru wins there too. According to a study by Experian Automotive, Subaru leads the industry in longevity with 96% of vehicles sold in the last 10 years still on the road today. More than Honda or Toyota brands. Hands down, Subaru has the longest lasting vehicles in the automotive industry, all of which makes it easy to love a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Visit us on Highway 29 just north of Car City, Pensacola, or shop us online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Based on Experian Automotive non-luxury vehicles and operation excluding trucks and vans versus total new registrations for model years 2013 through 2022 as of December 2022.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
It's a celebration. Join us for the Impact 100 20th Anniversary Celebration on Thursday, September 28th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Brownsville Community Center. This event is a celebration to honor two decades of empowering women and transforming lives in our community. Presented by Kia Autosport and Sandy Sansing Dealerships. Limited tickets are available, so visit impact100pensacola.org to buy your ticket today.
More news, more talk with Markley, Van Kamp, and Robbins on at 11, right after the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Mayor D.C. Reeves is on the way. We're going to have a really fun replay as soon as I can get this button on. Do, 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 do. News Radio. Do, 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 do. You want to join me?
What
I
is
pulled up gas
right
prices.
Now?
I'm pulling up his intro music. Do, do, do. Ah, do, do, do. Come on. There it is.
This is my favorite segment ever.
I doubt it. Here it is.
There's not one other person in the radio universe like you. There's not one, and I love you so much. Oh my God. So yesterday,
that's my bad.
Yesterday we had a chance to talk to DC Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show. One more pause here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, let's start with the easy hard stuff first. You ready?
Let's do it.
Why do you want to put 5 speed tables in on East Cross Street? What's wrong with you? Come on now.
again, you're giving me another Curb Your Enthusiasm moment as mayor because what I asked was, let's make sure everybody wants one. And we have a very meticulous process about how to do that. We don't just wake up one day and come put one in. Because if you've heard me at town halls, I talk about all the time. Everyone wants a speed table till we put it in, and then they call and say how loud the speed table is, as the neighbors that walk through there, we have to have at least 75% people approve it. And of course, at Cross Street, we've had significant, people flying through there through East Hill. So We have done all of the things through the protocol that we should do to make sure that this is, one, qualified to put it here, two, that the residents want it, and again, that the need's there and all of those things. So we've gone through that process. I made sure of that before we decided to do that, and that's what the community wants, and again, the need is there, and so that's what we'll do.
Are they going to be the kind, because there's all different kinds of speed humps, speed bumps, speed, you know, all kinds of things. Are these going to be the ones where genuinely if you drive across them at the speed limit, your car is fine? Or are these going to be ones that require you to slow down below the speed limit in order to get over the speed table?
Right. Well, I don't know exactly, to be honest with you. I don't know which ones they are that they're okay. putting in. You know, obviously, I would always defer to the Public Works, you know, on what they what they're going to put in. Ironically, I'm literally going over one right now downtown. But
how'd you like that? Was that fun?
Yeah, it was nice and quiet, just like you like. you know, so but yeah, so we'll see. But again, remember that, you know, we've got a lot of experience of putting these in, both good and bad, even well intended, and then having complaints and all that. So I'm sure, you know, I have a lot of trust in our team that we're doing the right thing, putting the right material in that has the happy medium between people flying through East Hill, as well as, you know, something that is palatable for the neighbor.
All right, last question on this, only because these are a unique pet peeve of mine. When you talk to David or whoever, Forte or whoever, do they tell you that speed tables actually work to reduce speed in neighborhoods? Because I've never been a believer in them being effective, because they only make people slow down at the speed bump and not in the in-betweens. But maybe they shovel traffic onto another street where you create a problem somewhere else. But I'm asking, do your experts tell you that they – and I know it's not your choice at 75%. It's the residents picked and all that. I'm just saying, do your experts tell you that speed tables work?
Yes, and also some of the homework that's done is homework that alleviates the concern you're talking about, which is – it's not just about the speed table on the street. If we put a speed table on street A, then what happens? Does everybody go around it? Those are things, of course, that we look at. Same with a stop sign. You know, if you put a stop sign on X road, then what happens to the roads around it? That, you know, and what is the consequence? So, yes, those are all things that we look at. And, you know, with the series of five of them, put it this way, we're in a better situation than we were the day before we put them in terms of the speeding right now and the lack of stop signs and the fact that particular road, people can just be flying through there.
Got it.
So we'll see how it goes. I think that puts us in a better situation than we were in before.
One of the other things that's gone on the agenda for next week, and I thought this was interesting because I'm interested to see what the rationale is for it. You've got a new ordinance proposed prohibiting the obstruction of sidewalks, essentially preserving a 36-inch path on any sidewalk. What's the reason for this? What problem are you trying to solve? Tell me, like, kind of what is this all about?
Well, really, this is already existing requirement by us. This is a federal ADA requirement to leave pathways clear, especially so in some of our urban area, downtown areas. We're seeing issues, whether it be somebody who has a license to use that has tables out front, whether there's objects, you know, blocking the way. We're starting as there's more activity, there's more things that prohibit what our requirement is. So this isn't creating a new rule. It's a rule that's already on the books. Ultimately, it gives us an ability to enforce a rule. And before people say, hey, we're going to write tickets to people, you know, standing out on the street or who leave their bike or restaurants that leave that have tables in the way. Number one, again, that's already a rule they should be complying with. And number two, as the ordinance states, the first ask is to correct the mistake. This is not a gotcha game. This right. is about us being able to be compliant with what we're already required by federal law to be compliant to. This just gives us the ability that if you continually do so, then we have an additional layer of enforcement that isn't in place.
And it does specifically read in the ordinance, no person shall be in violation of this law unless they receive, at the time the obstruction is occurring, a minimum of one verbal warning followed by a reasonable time to readjust, relocate, or move. So when I first read this,
And it might just be the sort of interpretive baggage that I bring to the exercise. But when I first read this, I read this as an anti-panhandling, is what it seemed to me. It seemed to be homeless. And I thought, well, you know, okay, there's the scooters. And then you mentioned this morning the tables that might be out cluttering the right away. And I'm thinking about mobility issues, people in wheelchairs and things like that. Is it in all of those? Is there one of those that's really driving this? Your comment, like, what is the focus?
It's all of them. I mean, look, as part of a growing city, a growing downtown that gets busier and busier, that's something that we all enjoy. That's something that's great. At the end of the day, if you've got tables in a way, if you've got your bicycle in a way, if a person's laying in the way, this isn't targeted to any one person, whether that was Andrew McKay or D.C. Reeves or anyone.
Did you just invite me to go lay on the sidewalk on Palafox with you? Is that what
Well,
I mean, hey, you know, I don't know how busy your weekends are. I mean, but
we can find time.
But at the end of the day, this is something we are required by law to be compliant to. That's all we're saying. So at the end of the day, what use is it to have that without anything on the books that says, hey, if this becomes a continual issue, and we're going to be sending letters to everyone who has licenses to use. I had one when I had the brewery. It was with the state of Florida because it's on a state road. But you're required to do that. I mean, and you see that sometimes on the weekends as well. So it's also for the commercial businesses to make sure that they're following the rule that they know exists already.
No reports on anybody lying down on the sidewalk on Palafox Street or anything? No. Okay. All right. Just checking.
I know I can't get through there with all the panhandlers on the sidewalk.
True. Yeah, that's the
but,
issue.
You know, whatever.
One of the other things that you've got coming up on the meeting next week is to dedicate a pretty significant chunk of 9th Avenue for Louis Baer Jr. as Louis Baer Jr. Way, right?
Yeah, and that's through started by the state of Florida. That's a state road, so this is kind of our part of it of that state road obligation. But we've talked about. I know many people in this community have talked about the impact that Louis and his family have had on this community, and a name I've known since I can ever remember. A force for this community, an advocate, especially pretty fitting. It's a state road because he was as good a representative for this community at the state level, especially more than anyone I can think of. So, again, fulfilling our part of this state road designation, and certainly happy to do so.
So that'll be Cervantes all the way to Bayfront, and I'm still not sure what the rename of Bayfront for, like, Pensacola Police Department, Memorial, whatever. But so will the street signs actually become Louis Baer Jr. Way, like when you're crossing, or will it stay as 9th Avenue and it's an honorary designation?
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Thanks for asking that. Just as for clarification, like the Fallen Heroes Highway is what you're referring
to in terms
of Bayfront. Same thing. If you go right before, just westbound of the port, if you're going eastbound on Main, you'll see the Fallen Heroes Highway sign. It's one of those state designations.
Okay.
You will not change. You know, people who live on the street aren't, or have businesses on the street aren't changing their address or anything like that.
And the only reason I ask, I mean, it, you know, certainly a well appropriate personage to have a road designated after him, but you know, we always have the conversation about how many, you know, six names for Bayou, Brent, Michigan, whatever. We don't need to be extra chunking roads into new names. And for the directions part, I was kind of concerned about that. Speaking of downtown, 17th Avenue, and you and I have talked about this many times, but we've kind of talked about pieces of the puzzle. There's a pretty comprehensive map on the agenda because there's a lot of things happening around the trestle, the boat ramp, and a boardwalk that's going to be built so people don't have to die trying to cross under the trestle on 9th Avenue. And also in coordination with the chimes and the warning for the bridge. What are you doing here?
Right. Well, we're trying to put all of the things that are much needed down there and bring them in for a landing. You guys have heard me say ad nauseum about it's time to take care of the things we have. I couldn't think of a better example than Wayside Park. It's in disrepair. And I mean, I wouldn't bring my family down there. You probably wouldn't bring your family down there right now in the state that it's in. And that's our obligation, to take the things that we have and make them what they should be. And so we've got some money set aside, in the $1.2, $1.3 million area, which is not enough to complete everything all the way to the fishing bridge. But that's our intent. I feel confident enough that we'll get the remaining funding through other sources, potentially FDOT resiliency dollars for the seawall and other things. I was asked about FEMA. You know, we're 3 years in with FEMA. The number is going down. Then Skanska comes up, and then you know I'm kind of getting exhausted with that process. So we're moving forward. If we'll continue to work with FEMA. If the FEMA dollars come through, we'll look at it. But we got to get moving. And but yes, it's to bring all of these things we've talked about: the chimes, protect the bridge. We were able to negotiate with the new rail company about getting the walkthrough under the trestle closer to the water to make that a much safer crossing. The boat launch itself, I mean, the asphalt under the boat launch wasn't, the proper material wasn't put in place. So it's just crumbling if you see it, and it doesn't look good. So we're going to get all of that worked out all at once to make sure we don't put the chimes in, then have to take them out for a new curb and then put them back in,
yeah,
et cetera. We're going to do all of this in one fell swoop.
And I am certainly a supporter of the boardwalk thing. I don't know how many people are going to be willing to go that extra 100 feet or whatever, 150 feet out of their way to use it. But, I mean, I certainly support it, and I think it'll be a beautiful amenity when we get it done. So, you know, good luck. And let's say good luck on, you know, people actually using it once it's done. We always like to end with the lightning round, Mr. Mayor. My lightning questions for you. Does D.C. Reeves ever sleep in a public place like, say, I don't know, at an airport or a library or a park bench? Do you ever sleep in public?
No, I just can't. I'm not a good sleeper on a plane, in a car. I need a traditional setup to get some Z's.
In your own car parked on like the side of the road ever?
Nope. Or as a passenger.
Not
as a driver. Yeah.
Oh, man, as the passenger, I'm out. that's yeah. Why my wife drives, so I can see. Is your speaking of driving, is your dashboard squeaky, sparkling clean, or does it have, let's just say, clutter? Does it have stuff on the dashboard?
There is stuff right now. There's my something for my doctor's office and the City of Pensacola parking pass that I'm supposed to have put on a couple months ago. Those are the two things I've got there right now.
That's your mayor's badge is what that is. Do you judge people for having a cluttered dashboard?
No, but how could I? I don't keep as clean a car as I should. You know, I part of showing you how hard I'm working.
I gotcha. And so last thing is, yesterday was National Cheese Pizza Day. Is cheese pizza ever the best pizza order?
No, I mean, it's not, but again, you know, with kids, I eat a lot more cheese pizza
than
I did maybe 10 years ago. So no, absolutely not. You got to have something on there.
Thank you.
Pepperoni jalapeno.
That's directed at you, Candy, by the way.
You still have my vote.
What'd you say, jalapeno and what?
I said pepperoni and jalapeno is kind of my go-to.
That's a little extra. That's a little different. Spicy though, I like it. I admire the boldness.
That's an admirable
it's
pizza.
A bold
yeah,
choice, Cotton.
Right.
I hope it works out for him. DC Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola. He joins us every Wednesday. Mayor, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Of course. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Was that the sound of you throwing up in the background, Candy?
I hope it works out for him. It's a bold choice, Cotton. It's on the Ocho.
That's on the Ocho.
I love that.
I love
Mayor D.C. Reeves. Oh. He's so cool. Plus, he worked at Blockbuster like us.
Did I say Justin Bateman? I think I did. I love Jason Bateman.
Oh, Jason Bateman.
Reeves.
Right. Yeah.
You know when he was saying that, you know what I was thinking is, feels like it needs a sweet element to it. You know, pepperoni with jalapeno feels like you need some, I don't know, pineapple or something else to go
yeah,
with the hot.
But. Dana Cervantes, who I hang out with all the time, one of her kids, that's his pizza order, Alex, and it's like,
okay.
We
can
just
I tell
can't
you
figure
the weirdest
out.
Little food thing I discovered recently? Just randomly, okay?
So, good or bad?
Good. I make shredded beef street tacos, okay?
Oh.
Which is like, it's think of it like, it's kind of like spicy pot roast.
Okay, sure.
It's kind of the flavor, okay? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you can make them in quesadillas, you can make them in tacos, you can do a lot of different things. But I made quesadillas with it and, you know, put a little, like, guacamole on there, you put a little hot sauce on there, you get a pretty good variety of flavors. And I was reading something and it said, try cucumber. And I had seen cucumber in the side dish at El Asador, you know, like the little, the garnish area. And I was kind of like, what is that for? And they said, try cucumber. So I took a little thin slice of cucumber and I put it. Oh my God.
Isn't that weird? Yeah. Like, there's this.
That is the best extra flavor / texture. And even like, I don't know, because it's cold and it's crispy, like all of that.
Oh, it's perfect.
On
like
a,
an
on
unspiced
taco, you know?
Pickle, which obviously it is. There was this Asian place. that shut down, I think, due to code stuff on Fairfield. But anyway, that's beside the point. They would always put, it was like all their fried rice had cucumber in it.
Which
doesn't sound like it would be good, but it was really great with fried rice.
Exactly.
So,
see, there you go. You got to try a bunch of things. Oh, it's super late. How about we take a commercial break?
Okay.
Hurricane season is here, and Gulf Breeze Natural Gas helps provide the most reliable energy source. There are advantages to having natural gas in your home or business. Major storms typically do not cause widespread outages because gas lines are buried and protected. Most appliances, including cooking and hot water, still work during electrical outages. A gas generator gets everything back up and running within 30 seconds. That's the length of this commercial. Learn more about how to be best prepared at GulfBreezeNaturalGas.com.
This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, Pensacola Bay Oysters, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Tomorrow morning at 10:30, join Santa Rosa Animal Services on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They believe every life is precious and that every wag of a tail, every purr, and every gentle nuzzle is a gift worth cherishing. Their dedicated team of volunteers works tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back, adopting or fostering a furry friend. Discover the resources you need to make your community a better place for pets. That's tomorrow morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Pregnancy can be an exciting time, but for many moms, it can mean feeling anxious, depressed, confused, or overwhelmed. Either during pregnancy or after having your baby, you may not quite feel like yourself. If you're experiencing these feelings, you are not alone, and mental health issues can be treated. Talk with your OB or connect with a mental health provider in your area by visiting flbhimpact.org. This message is supported by the Health Resources and Services Administration, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie from 4 till 7 right before Dave Ramsey on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
So, pop quiz for you. If Nikki Haley does get the nomination or even becomes president, and she decides to use the like Weird Al version of Hey Mickey, it's Hey Nikki.
Okay.
Will Tony Basil allow it?
I don't know, man. It's you weird. Know how, Tony you know Basil hasn't aged ever. I just watched an interview with her, so it's creepy. It's
you know like how Mary all these Hoxing. Artists always protest, like, stop using my song. Right. Stop using my song. We're paying the licensing rights. Okay, go ahead and use my song. 557 on News Radio 92.3. Steve Taylor's in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
Well, new projections show Hurricane Lee could make it all the way to the east coast of the U.S. The hurricane formed over the Atlantic Ocean Tuesday is expected to strengthen into a Category 4 storm by Saturday with wind speeds up to 150 miles an hour. It might be one of the spaghetti models show touching maybe Cape Cod before heading into Canadian waters, but the other models show it heading north away from us.
I'm so glad you said that, because that is like, that's the most important thing people care about. It's going to be a monster storm.
Yeah.
It is almost certainly not going to affect us or even Florida other than maybe a little bit. Exactly right.
Maybe a few waves on the East Coast. Well, Princess Diana's black sheep sweater is going on display at Sotheby's today in New York. The sweater was first worn by Diana at a polo match back in 81, and a month before her marriage to Prince Charles. When the sweater suffered a rip, though, she sent it back to the designer, who sent her a new one. Meantime, the people there at the designer place, where she sent the sweater to, found the original sweater, you know, decades later.
Oh,
online
wow.
bidding, in case you're interested, will be through September the 13th, and the sweater is expected to go for more than $80,000 for a used sweater.
Ripped.
Yeah,
used.
For that kind of money, I hope they
That's
fix
like
that sweater.
That's like game-worn jerseys, yeah. What that is. What'd you say?
Well, for that kind of money, I hope they fix the rip in that sweater.
No, leave it. That's the mark of authenticity, right? That's how you know.
And does it come with papers?
And then you get into all of these weird things like, do you wear it? Do you wash it? Like, all that kind of creepy memorabilia type stuff.
If you're
stuff.
A Kardashian, you wear it.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
They do.
We'll be back in just a few minutes.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3.